Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos, that's Bob Mackwitz. It's gray, it's rainy, it's Friday, but we got the playoffs going on. How you doing, Bob?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's playoff time. I love this time of year. That's fantastic. Actually, I was stuck in the rain the other day when it was really coming down. Big, huge, cold droplets, and I had a bad umbrella that broke. Is there anything in this world that says you've hit bottom like busted umbrella?
It's the worst. It is so pathetic, and then it turns from something to protect you to a weapon that could stab you or anyone around you. I hate it.
It's like a multi-pronged pitchfork.
Yeah. And in fact, the umbrella is such a faulty device because the only way you can have one that truly works has to be the sort of one that you have on Pebble Beach on a rainy third round of the U.S. Open. And those things are massive. You can't walk, as a human being in our society, you can't walk on a sidewalk with the giant PGA-sized umbrella.
Like, they're like the roofs to a gazebo.
Yes, exactly.
They're walking gazebos.
Yeah.
Those umbrellas. Do you have any item in your life that you refuse to pay a lot of money for, and every time the cheap one breaks, you think, this is freaking cheap, but you don't go and get a proper one afterwards? Because for me,
yeah,
absolutely, umbrella. I will not spend more than $10 on umbrellas, and yet somehow, twice a year, I'm rained on because my umbrella broke.
That is a good one. Probably, maybe my phone.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, I don't spend a ton on my phone.
Your computer has survived. The Acer.
The Acer, going strong. Going strong. We've had our ups and downs.
TV remotes.
Ooh, that's a good one. Because the TV remote, eventually you just put the cellophane tape on it. On the back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you get out the 3M, you tape it together.
And there's the time when you replace the batteries and you can see there's the little bits of battery rust, but you still won't do anything about it because it's your remote. It's your remote. I don't want a new remote. This remote works.
We go through two or three remotes a year.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, we lose them all the time between me and Sandra.
Okay.
Like, yeah. We're not really, I would say Sandra spends about 17.5% of her day looking for something.
Yeah.
Keys, phone, wallet, any number of things. Usually those three. Those are the big three. Me too, though. Like, I'm probably up around 14%, so I'm certainly not looking down on her.
I'm not going to judge you, but I will. You guys are insane. Like, you put the wallet and the keys in the same spot every time. Mine are right over there by the window. So I'm never losing. I never lose wallet, keys, or phone. And I know, I treat my remote control the way I treat my glass of wine at a party. If I put it down, I know where it is. You know, I can spot my glass of wine anywhere. I'm always tracking.
This is a good way to segue to something that I've been waiting 36 hours to ask you.
Okay.
I was walking past Queen Street the other day, and I looked inside a restaurant. A bunch of guys were sitting at the front table by the window, and it was a pretty nice restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they had glasses of wine in those long-stemmed glasses.
Yeah.
And they took this big drink. And you know the drink that people take where your nose goes in the glass?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I get that. It's so you can get a good sniff of the bouquet, and it opens up the palate, and like, there's a reason for it. But here's my question for you, Matt. Why do guys, I don't know if women do this, but why do guys always have to get that fucking look on their face while they're doing that? Like, they're doing something so serious and so, like they're reading a Shakespearean sonnet or something.
There's two answers to that. On a side thing, I'm glad you've never seen me in the wild when I'm at a wine event, like a tasting, like a trade tasting. Mm-hmm.
Do you get that face?
Oh, I get that face.
Ugh.
I get that face. And let me say on the front end, your scorn for that face is 100% earned.
Matt, that face, just so people can picture it in their heads, think of Homer Simpson when he's doing math.
Yeah.
And he gets that look on his face.
So it is two answers. One, there's the group that fake it, you know, where they're doing it because they want to fit in, where they want to seem like they're smart. So that's one half. The other, honestly, is when I do that, and I could take wine out now and recreate it. Because I know I do it. I do the face. It's because in those couple seconds, I'm assessing the aromatics on it. I'm smelling the wine, trying to get, is there tertiary notes? Is it fruit led? What kind of fruit? And by smelling it, you can start to tell what sort of alcohol level. Then that can, you can figure out what the climate is. One smell can tell me geography and geology in a couple seconds. And that's why we get that obnoxious look.
Yeah, that's not good enough. I read. It's not even close to good enough. I can read a book.
Yeah.
And there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to look like, yeah, the bouquet of the book. Yeah. Look at me. I'm reading. Yeah. Like, my face doesn't suddenly alter to asshole setting.
You sound like Gandalf. Hello, Hobbit.
I actually look like Gandalf because I grew my hair long.
That's true.
People are calling me Punk Gandalf out there, which I actually...
Punk Gandalf.
Punk Gandalf is... kind of,
that's not bad.
That's me.
Yeah, that's not bad. Look out, Balrog. Here comes Punk Gandalf. Very nerdy.
So hang on a second. Yeah. Back to not let you off the hook here. There are a lot of things you can do that require brain power that you don't have to contort your face into bougie dickwad to do.
True, but when you're reading a book, you don't need to smell. It's a much more of a physical thing. I am smelling. I'm bringing all the aromatics in.
Hear me out here. Hear me out.
Yeah.
People who drink wine like that are super self-important about what they're doing. What do you think? Let's kick that one around a bit.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of self-importance. But I could... Now here's my deflect back the other way.
Okay. Back at Punk Gandalf.
Yeah. Let's be clear. I'm in the losing end of this argument. Well, let's face it. I am in the losing end of this one. I can also look at it. It's the excitement of a wine that you've always wanted to try. It's a wine where you know this comes from farmers. That look on my face is one where I'm giving profound respect for Canadian farmers. The meat and potatoes, blue collar people that feed us every day, Bob.
By the way, Matt, first of all, nationalism is the last refuge of the scoundrel.
I said farmers. What does that have to do with nationalism?
Because you started talking about the people, Canada, the good Canadian farmers. I don't know if you've noticed this, but you might not be the only rich, conservative-leaning guy out there who's trying to convince himself he's the man of the people.
Classic left-wing city people looking down on the farmers. Pretending like you care about the environment as another Amazon box arrives at your door.
And
you
classic give your woke agenda.
Yeah, exactly. You're canceled.
You're right. You were on the losing end of the argument, except for the point where I walk out feeling like I want to say, Garçon, can I have another $100 bottle of wine, please? Yeah. I have to wash down my defeat.
Yes. By the way, $100? Okay, I guess you're going light. In the end, I lose it. I do it. And the worst part is sometimes the pinky comes out. And I don't even mean it. Like, I'm tipping back, and I can see my pinky is out. And I'm like, fuck, pinky, go away. Go away right now.
Get a cigar cutter and just chop your pinky off now. So there's no chance that that could happen again.
It feels a little extreme, but it does happen.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. Trust me.
You would hate me at wine events, like where there's like, say, 40 different producers from different countries around the world. And I'm going around, I'm trying, and I'm making notes. And I'm never happier than when I'm there, because I'm learning. I like to learn, Bob. Yeah. I like
Matt,
to learn.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but I hate you now.
Yeah. Oh, no, you should. Again, it's a losing argument.
You just have to talk about it, and I can feel that hate. Punk Gandalf down with that.
Yeah. But I did do a Balrog reference.
Speaking of things that are angry but kind of awesome, read Cathal Kelly's article today in the Globe and Mail. We'll talk about the Leafs now, but the headline, I don't know if Cathal wrote the headline. Often the writers don't, but... He said, the Leafs are going to lose to the Bruins. Everyone knows it. That's the headline. Okay, he didn't say it. The headline wrote or said it.
What I loved is I saw the head. I just, it said Globe and Mail, and I saw the headline. I'm like, oh, that's Cathal. That, and by the way, I mean that as a compliment. The guy's a great writer. So
we'll get into NBA playoffs in a second. We have a fun thing where you're going to preview the Western Conference and you're going to do it with movie comparisons.
Yes.
I'm going to do the East and I'm going to do it with album comparisons.
It was a great idea by you. I love getting an assignment. I worked on it last night.
I bet. And I bet you had a glass of wine and you just kicked back and enjoyed it, right?
2020 Rose Hall Run, their JCR Pinot Noir. Again, local Prince Edward County. 2020 warmer vintage. So you're going to get a little bit more plushness, but you got to be careful, Bob. It's Pinot Noir. It's not Merlot. You've got to be careful when you're training those grapes.
Okay, Matt, I promise I'll be careful.
All right.
I also want to talk to you about science fiction because I just finished watching Three Body Problem.
Oh, okay.
And I'm really interested in this moment in science fiction. I got a couple questions for you.
Ooh, is it, by the way, is it good? Should I throw it on?
I don't know if it's good or not.
Oh, no.
I know it's smart.
Yeah.
I think you should watch it. Let's not get into this now.
Let's come back to it.
Because let's talk about Leafs sports. Are going to lose. Everybody knows it. I actually don't agree. Mm-hmm. I think the Leafs are going to win. And I actually think the Leafs are going to win in five, maybe six.
Wow.
I think they're going to clobber them.
Okay.
Caveat. And we can talk about this. If the goaltending is at least league standard, mm-hmm. they're going to win in five or six.
If you just looked at the statistics of the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs, you just looked at the statistics, and then I told you that the team that Toronto was facing was the Islanders,
mm-hmm.
I think most people would predict Toronto would win.
Mm-hmm.
Even with this Islanders team beating Toronto all four times, but if you just looked at all the numbers, all the underlying statistics, Boston is not as good at shot suppression, goals allowed, like all these different things. You would say, yeah, you know what? Hey, Toronto's going to win, but it's the sports PTSD. There's Brad Marchand. There's the Bruins uniform.
That logo, that B inside of the spoky wheel, for those of us who lived through 4-1, it was 4-1. You're right. It's PTSD.
Yeah. That's
exactly right. It's a good way to put it. I'm glad, I was grateful that Florida wound up on top because I don't think we would have beaten Florida. And I don't think we will beat Florida whenever we play them, unless there's injuries there or they
injuries,
cool
upsets.
Off or whatever.
Yeah.
All of that. But just like all things being equal, feed it into a computer, I think Florida beats us more times than
yes.
Boston does for sure. But no, I think like the Leafs, look, they've kind of sucked down the stretch. And so everybody, again, PTSD is thinking, oh, this team, they turn it off, they turn it on. Are they going to go? No. Honestly, Austin scored almost 70. God, he tried hard, right?
He tried so hard.
So hard. You really couldn't try harder.
TJ Brody gets his first goal in 111 games.
Thanks, TJ.
Thanks, TJ.
That was great. They've got the hottest player in the world right now playing for them. And, you know, I don't know what to expect from Samsonov. I really don't. Sometimes he looks good. Sometimes he looks shit. But I know he can be a good goalie. And he only has to be a good goalie four times.
The other side is Linus Allmark and Jeremy Swayman, incredible regular season guys.
Mm-hmm.
They have losing records in the playoffs. Their goals against way higher. Their save percentage. And it's not that they can't be great. They can. But the point is yes, Boston has the clear advantage in net.
Hard, they do.
Hard stop. But it's not like these two guys have a track record of playoff success. They might get it, but they don't have it yet.
They have the advantage in net. But
yes.
It's not like you have to face Dominic, like peak Dominic Hasek.
Yeah.
They're not insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
Bobrovsky can get insurmountable. There's a couple guys who can, where they just go on heaters. Every goalie can. But
Bobrovsky did that last year against Toronto.
And you saw how hard it is when you're up against someone. So look, goaltending, let's just take that out of the equation because God knows it's like, again, predicting kickers on a windy day.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows what's going to happen? Is there anyone you're watching for particularly? Oh, I should probably justify my sweeping statement.
Go.
I think Austin's on an incredible heater, and I think that will carry over. And when he's great, the team is awfully great. If they can get three or four of their stars, once again, we've said this if so many times, but if we can get them playing well, like Tavares is not great, but he's good. I'd like to see Nylander pick it up a little bit, but I just feel like this is the year where they don't suck. Like, they're going to get on a roll. The odds dictated. I know that's kind of unscientific, but yeah. We've seen when this team is clicking, they're very, very hard to beat.
They need 2.5 of the four. They need two that are kicking ass, and the other two can hopscotch it, and they can win this series.
The one, like, hockey is not basketball in the sense that one player can win you a series,
yeah.
unless it's the goalie. But I feel like Austin Matthews is challenging that notion. He could go in there and just be unstoppable. And once again, he might not be. They might find a way to game plan him and the game slows down and everyone checks harder. And all of that is true. But Austin Matthews is playing better hockey than anyone else on the planet right now. And I'm going to believe that he's going to bring the team with him.
The question is, can the Maple Leafs flip the switch? They've been bad the last four games. They've been kind of on cruise control. Sheldon Keefe says during that last game against Tampa, he was scouting Boston. You saw that Nylander was in peak float Nylander mode. Can they flip the switch? And can the special, if they're going to do it, it's going to be the special teams, the power play. Specifically, the power play is the cudgel that they need to get it done.
It's true. And that's a great equalizer when you're facing a good goalie, is a power play. It helps the advantage swing back to the offensive team. And as long as they cash in sufficiently, I like Toronto's odds because I think Toronto is a good team. And we forget that here in Toronto because we hate them. Because they put us through so much. But do you think Boston wants to face Toronto? Knowing that they might walk in there and look like the best team in the league on any given night? Sure, there's a bit of a mystery too, but this is not the team they were 4 years ago.
No.
They're not light. They're not soft. No. Auston Matthews has grown into a true captain, even though it's Tavares, but really he's the leader of this team. I bet you if you gave them sodium pentothal, they would rather, Boston would rather play Tampa than they would Toronto.
I'll yes and you here and go in a different direction, but okay. Also why if you want to pick Toronto. We always talk about pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And again, hard stop. There's no hockey team that has more historical pressure than the Maple Leafs. We know it, 1967, all this sort of stuff. The Bruins, they won their last cup 13 years ago. Before that, they won their last one before that, 1972. The Bruins have won more games than any team in the NHL over the last 3 years. They have one playoff series win. Pasternak is a great player. He's never won a Stanley Cup. I'm not saying they're even, but we shouldn't discount. There's pressure on the Bruins. There's pressure on those players. Brad Marchand is the captain for the first time at the age of 35. He doesn't have a lot of time left in him as well. I get why we do, because we're in this market. But let's not forget all the pressure on the Boston Bruins.
Matt, I love you, except when you talk about wine, but I'm not going to go with you on this one. Because okay. If you want pressure, look, you might be able to make that argument, but not in Toronto.
But for the games would be in Boston.
Yeah, even still. If we're talking about having a 500-pound gorilla sitting on your chest, that would be Toronto. In Boston, it's probably a 100-pound gorilla. Most people could get through that. Things that could go wrong.
Yeah.
Because we were positive for at least 5 minutes there.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have that indefinitely.
No, we got to.
I worry a little bit about Sheldon Keefe. I'd like to see him. You know what I'd like to see him do? Less. Don't panic. Like, if this team gets down a game, don't panic. Don't start making crazy roster moves. And I don't want to see Nylander playing center because somebody had a bad game. I worry about him a little bit with the goaltending rotation. Is he going to have a quick hook or is he going to let someone settle in? Sheldon Keefe managing this team. Like, I think hockey coaching is wicked overrated compared to basketball and certainly compared to football. And he maybe even...
Not baseball. Don't do baseball.
Yeah.
I know John Schneider shouldn't have brought Swanson in against the Yankees, but...
Yeah, maybe not. Okay, so we'll park baseball over there. But I actually think coaching is going to be important in this one. I want to see how he handles the goalies if one of them doesn't look great.
My biggest concern is, the obvious one, not the goalies. It's actually the defense. What does five...
Did you Jiminy Glick that?
I didn't.
You should.
I'll try in a little bit. Now I'm feeling pressure to suddenly do Jiminy Glick. Here's what I want to see, Bob. No, God. Ooh, that was a pitch too high. What does 5-6 feet look in front of the net? That's my concern with the Leafs defense. Does traffic look like trying to get on the Gardner after 3 o'clock?
They got Joel Edmondson to clear out the parking lot, but he's pretty banged up, so we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, and who knows? Who knows what to take for the stats? I mean, they've allowed 22 goals in the last four games. I don't know what I'm supposed to take.
Don't
out
take
of that.
Anything out
okay,
of it.
Okay,
don't take anything out of it. They knew they were going to be third.
Yeah.
And really, everybody got to the rink and they thought one thing. How do we get Auston 70?
Yeah, and don't get hurt. Get him 70. I know. But they got LaBouche, they got Edmondson, we'll see. But that's my big concern is the Maple Leafs defense. And just what you don't want is, there's a 48-second span where they're just cycling the puck on you. They're in your zone. And just you got to have someone to end that.
So, Matt, I'm upstairs on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a quick look at ESPN because I'm going to go watch the game. I'm finishing up some work. And it's 2-1 Toronto against Florida. I think, oh, that's nice. And I walk downstairs.
Yeah.
My house isn't that big. I walk downstairs to the basement, find the remote, which obviously I can't remember.
Can't find it. Oh, there's
Sandra's
keys.
It takes me 30 seconds. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, there's her keys under the pillow.
Oh, it's under the phone. Yeah. So it takes me 15, 20 seconds to find the remote. I flip it on, TSN, and I hear the goal buzzer going off, and it's 3-2 Florida.
Yeah.
Matt, I walked 2 floors. I didn't even make a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that 30 seconds you were talking about. But this is the thing. I worry about Keefe's ability to not panic in a situation where, you know, angels fear to tread. Here's one I don't know about that I want to throw your way. Mitch Marner. I don't know what Mitch is. Marner is just a top 10, 15 player in the world when he's good.
Was this sort of a lost season a little bit because he was injured and banged up? I don't know, but you're right. Like Mitch Marner, if you just looked at the numbers and didn't, you just looked at the stats, you go, oh, solid year, good year for Mitch Marner. That it didn't have the same impact.
You know, part of it was lineup weirdness. Who's he playing with? Who's he not playing with? You know, generally speaking, with Tavares historically, yeah, not the best, but they seem to be clicking pretty good. More importantly, Mitch Marner looks scared in the playoffs often. And you think about some of those playoff series where he looked like I don't want to say he went full Ben Simmons where he didn't want to touch the ball. He doesn't want the puck.
Yeah.
But he went like half Ben Simmons where it looked like every time he had it, he was afraid he was going to lose it or do something dumb with it. I don't think he's there anymore, but where is he? Because if they're going to beat Boston, he needs to be great Mitch Marner, not scared Mitch Marner.
And the longer the series goes on, the more you would see that negative side of him.
That's a good point.
You know, I remember the last time they played Boston, 2019, there was one of those early games. He had a bunch of assists. He blocked a shot with his face. And it was. And I remember the next day we're talking about just this is peak Marner. This is the great. And then he was kind of invisible for the rest of the series. The issue with the Maple Leafs is this is a team constructed to win one way. It's a hell of a way, but it's bludgeoning you with these four forwards and, you know, and Morgan Rielly as well. Their plan B is a lowercase b. And that's, you know, can they steal a game? Can they steal a period when we're not noticing Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares?
Oddly enough, I think it's good they're starting on the road. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to steal a game in Boston. They can come back here feeling good about themselves. I think they're going to win a couple here. And then all of a sudden it's 3-1 and we'll see what happens.
It's going, you say six.
I'm even thinking five maybe. Matt, Boston is not a great scoring team.
I understand.
They're a very good team. They're a complete team from top to bottom and their defense is better constructed than ours is. Their goaltending is certainly better than ours is. Even at its best, it's better than ours is. But we score. We put the puck in the net. I'm wee fouling here, by the way, but I don't care because it's playoffs.
Whatever,
during the playoffs, the Leafs are weak. Yeah, exactly.
Game 23 against the Wild, it's them. Game 1 in the playoffs, it's us.
I'm literally going to change all of my plans for the next 2 months to make sure I'm in front of a television so I can watch this live. I've earned the right to call them weak.
Hell yeah. I think your going five is crazier than my pressure issue. At least Boston, there's been higher expectations on Boston if you just look at who does done more winning the regular season. But this series is going seven. It always goes seven. Okay, this is like there's 25 minutes left in Halloween and someone says, well, that's it. It's over. I guess the next 25 minutes is just them, you know, hanging around Haddonfield cleaning up the blood. No, no, he's getting up. In fact, he's already up. He's walking towards us. Why are we not looking at Michael? Like this is going, it's going seven. To me, it's the easiest bet.
This is Mike Tyson walking into the ring and saying, if I take him out in three, I can get to the strip club by 11.
Yeah, exactly. And then the stripper's like, oh shit, here comes Tyson. He must have won. Damn you, Leon Sphinx. Damn you to hell.
All right. I'm again basing five on getting league average goalie, goaltending.
Yeah.
That might not happen.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't happen, it'll go six, maybe seven. They might lose. But if they get decent goaltending, if goaltending doesn't lose them a game, they will win in five.
I hope you're right. Do you know why? Because if they win in five, that means they score. And what's the one thing they don't do in the playoffs? They don't score goals.
They score in the regular season, and nobody scores in the playoffs.
They got to score more than two. You got to get more than two.
I believe that, okay, watch me go cliche here.
Do it.
They're going to outscore Boston.
Okay. Well, they probably have to if they win in five.
Exactly. Yeah. If they outscore Boston, what happens?
They win. Wait, let me check. Let me do the math. They win.
This isn't going to be one of those times where you look at your team and you're like, wait, I have a super positive goal differential, but my team's under 500, or the other way around?
Well, look at the Capitals. They're like minus 37.
Right, exactly. The other way around, when your team stinks, but somehow you carve out enough points to make it through.
Let me ask you, and this is still about the Leafs, but a little less about hockey.
Okay.
How do you watch the games? And I'll tell you how I do it, just to give you to explain. I'm usually standing. I'm standing much more than I'm sitting, and I'm close to the screen. And I have my arm, especially like late if it's a tight game, my arms are crossed, but not around more the mid part, like right around the nipples. Like my arms are crossed way up high as I'm watching the game. That's me.
I like that. So you look kind of like uptight soccer coach.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm like, why aren't you getting back on defense?
I find a spot in the room where I feel my mojo is positively affecting the result.
Right.
And then I do not move.
Okay.
I do not. Then I find an action that I can repeat in that spot. I have a bongo drum. I'll play the bongo. If we're doing well, I'll play it for 2 hours. Exactly the same thing over and over again.
Sandra must be thrilled with that.
She stays away. She stays far
away. What about
away.
Cece? What about your daughter? Is she into it, or is she at the age now where she's like, okay, whatever, Dad?
She was never into it.
Oh, yeah.
When I was working at TSN, she had seen hockey every day of her life. Every single day. She was probably like 6 or 7. She walks down to the basement one day, looks at the TV. I'm watching the Leafs, and she goes, "Ah, Dad, football again." And at that moment, I thought, you know what? I don't know if we're having daddy-daughter time at the ACC.
We are not, which, by the way, Bullet Dodge, those are expensive tickets, as we discussed before.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. You don't love hockey? Okay.
All right.
And you like school?
Yep.
All right.
You know what? It's not a bad trade-off.
Yeah, I'm okay with it so far.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, but
not a bad trade-off.
Yeah, I'm going to take Leafs and I'll take them in 6 just because, what the hell. I want to take them in 5, but that's probably unrealistic. But yeah, Leafs in 6.
I got Boston in 7.
Oh!
I know.
No!
I know.
I got
Boston in 7. I'm just going on. The Leafs haven't earned my benefit of the doubt. I want to be wrong. I want you to be right. Auston Matthews has been incredible. We don't often see where the incredible player then lifts the team, throw a playoff run, certainly not round these parts. So prove me wrong, Toronto. Prove me wrong.
Is there one team that's not the Leafs that you're kind of watching and excited about? And I'll jump in with mine while you're thinking.
Go.
I kind of want to see what Vancouver does. They've had a really interesting year, and they came out of nowhere to be really good. And so I don't know who they are yet. I don't get a chance to watch a lot of West Coast games. Now I'm going to really have a chance to deep dive on them. I got good friends out in Vancouver who've been talking up this team and saying how much they love them and they're great people and blah, blah, blah. You know, it feels like Edmonton is the Canadian team to keep an eye on. But something tells me, just that dark horse of Vancouver. You know, and traditionally I've hated Vancouver, but I kind of like them now. I feel like they did their time in purgatory.
Yeah. By the way, classic liberal. I have friends in Vancouver. Guess what, Bob? My friends are in Calgary, and we are keeping the rest of the nation afloat.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. One, I want Vegas to lose in 4 and every game to be 9-0. Fuck them. Fuck that team. They've had way too much winning. So that's the first one.
Okay.
The other
so it's a negative one.
Yeah, that's a negative. The positive, and they won the President's. Yeah, the Rangers won the President's Trophy.
Yeah, they did.
I'm looking at a guy who doesn't get the same amount of stink on him than Auston Matthews does, but Artemi Panarin, that guy does a lot of scoring in the regular season. In the playoffs, poof. So I'm fascinated by the Rangers. That team has a ton of talent. They won the President's Trophy. First round's not going to be. There's not going to be much there. But I'm going to go with the Rangers.
The bread man. Is he going to be fresh baked bread, aromatic and delicious, or is it going to be soggy bread that makes us all feel like we got ripped off?
And also got mentioned on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry David did a Panarin reference.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Nice.
Yeah.
In the finale?
It was like, I think, 2 episodes before the finale.
I don't watch that show, and I never really liked Seinfeld.
No, then it's not for you then.
Yeah, and Yeah, exactly. It feels like it's Seinfeld, but on cable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, hold on.
Yes, sir.
You spilled a little bit of coffee. Nothing much. A tiny bit. But
tiny drop.
I'm going to be just staring at it. So.
All right, I'll go get a thing. Why don't you do Jeff Pollock get something to wipe
I'll
it up
do
with.
Jeff Pollock. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you want to sue someone because they stained your carpet. If that's the case, don't go to Jeff Pollock. Jeff Pollock is a busy man. Jeff Pollock is an important man. But if you need legal help, if you need legal representation, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com. He is our lawyer. If you need lawyer help, legal stuff, real things, not fake stuff, then you should go to jeffpollock.com. Yeah, I can't.
You can't function if you see a stain on the table.
Oh, yeah. I'm at a bar, and all it is the little moisture circle, and that's it. Like, someone can be explaining to me, okay, Matthew, you're now going to be doing aggressive chemotherapy, and all I'm looking at is, yeah, we'll get to polyps or whatever you said, but we need to clean that spot on the table.
Who's more OCD, you or me? Because I just described how I'll watch the Leafs with 2 hours of bongo fury because I believe that my playing is influencing the game.
I think you are. I have that with clean. I don't have those other things. All my other OCDs are very much about, as you know, making time, using my time wisely. Hence, I untie my shoes in the elevator.
It's definitely you. Yeah. It is so far and away you because your whole life is built around the idea of saving time.
Yes.
Matt.
Yeah.
Your whole life.
That's true.
Every aspect of it.
That's true.
Every single thing. Every cell in your body, the hundreds of billions of cells in your body all have one purpose.
Yeah.
Save time.
I'm never happy. Well, that's not true. I'm very happy.
You're always happy.
Well, no, but I'm very happy when I'm in the shower and the conditioner is doing its thing and I'm brushing my teeth as I'm peeing.
Are you peeing? Yeah.
Of course. So three things are happening simultaneously. And I'm like, oh.
What are your feet doing, though, Matt? What are your feet doing?
They're avoiding the urine, but. What do you think they're doing? They're Fred Astaire-ing from the stream. That frothy, efficient stream of urine. I think I'll use that as the tagline for this episode.
All right, we'll get to science fiction later. Why don't we get you to do a Western Conference NBA preview, movie styles.
And by the way, Bob, thank you for two things. One, great idea by you. Two, you gave me the West. Thank you. The East playoffs, like the Western Conference playoffs and the NBA make me glad I'm not doing the morning show right now. Because, all right. So, okay, the fourth series. Let's start with Sacramento at Oklahoma City. I'm assuming Sacramento is going to beat the Pelicans. They don't have Zion.
Oh, Williams, you're doing it that way where you're just taking the favorite?
Yeah, I'm taking the favorite.
Sure.
So, Oklahoma City, Sacramento, that series, the movie, The Breakfast Club.
Okay, interesting.
Because OKC, youngest team ever to win the number one seed in the West. This is about a team, about young people getting together and starting to realize their own power as they're banded together against older being the principal. So for me, the Breakfast Club is the Kings versus the Thunder in honor of the Thunder being the youngest team to get the one seed.
That's a freaking great start. What a great, wow, I absolutely love that. As excited as I am to see Shea, I'm kind of equally excited to see Chet because I don't know who Chet is, but I do know this, that he feels like, I don't know him, but I guarantee you, he feels overshadowed by Wemby.
Oh, yeah.
Unfairly.
Yes.
Because he thinks he's better than Wemby. And Wemby had this, you know, historic start to his season. And Chet feels like, wait a minute, I went out and did things that 19 out of 20 rookies can't do. And everybody's talking about that guy in San Antonio. But I'm in the playoffs now. So if I can crush my freaking opponent, I may not get the Rookie of the Year award, but everyone's going into the summer talking about me. I think his ego and his maniacal desire to win, which we love, are really going to come out.
It's a great point. He does win the playoffs. He gets a little more shine. Also, it needs to be pointed out, he played, I think, every game. Or close to 82
really?
Games. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. A guy who missed all of last year. We wondered about, would this guy be able to be healthy?
Yeah, the foot injury.
Yeah. Played the entire season. I will go next. Dallas at the LA Clippers, which, by the way, is the best first round series. And I will not take any other answer.
Before you answer.
Yeah.
Is James Harden involved in this in any way?
Strangely enough, no.
Really?
I was thinking about it. I was also thinking about, okay, actually I have something for Denver. I'll save it in a moment. This series is going to be operatic. This series has tons at stake. There is so much at stake, especially for the Clippers. There is stars all over the place. This series is the movie Interstellar.
I knew you were going to say that once you said stars all over the place. Beautiful, star-laden.
Interstellar has 7 Oscar winners. Matthew McConaughey, Jessica Chastain, Anne Hathaway, Michael Caine, Ellen Burstyn, Casey Affleck, Matt Damon, 1 for writing. So this film, big, huge, stars, operatic all over the place. Interstellar.
Man, you are really, you understood the assignment,
yeah,
as they say on the internet.
LA at Denver. Lakers?
Hang on, before we move on, because it is the best series. Who do you got in this one? Because I honestly don't know. I was thinking, do I want to bet on this one? Because I kind of want to bet on a few of them, and I thought, I can't take this one, because I honestly, I don't know.
I'm going to go with the Clippers, because everyone's going Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas is because, you know, when you need to have the one upset to make yourself feel smart. You know what? I think Dallas is going to win it. And everyone is doing it. They are the darling dark horse team. And you get it because how good Luka is and Kyrie's done well. They've been better since the trade deadline. Their defense has been great. So it makes sense. But Kawhi's fully healthy. So I'm going the Clippers.
Yeah. Is Kawhi fully healthy though?
Yep.
Because there's been some question about that. The reports are he's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Is he playing game one?
He is playing game one.
Last I checked, it was still a question.
Nope, he is playing game one.
Okay, so. Well, you know, I will say this, though. How douchey do you have to be where Kyrie Irving becomes someone you want to cheer for?
Oh, I don't. But I'm just going to go, wow, that was great what he did on the court. Don't be an anti-Semite. Don't say the world is flat. Don't talk about vaccines. Oh, did you see that layup? Don't promote that movie. No, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, don't. I don't care about your thoughts on Hamas. Just shoot a 3. So that's sort of how I'm treating old Kyrie Irving. Awkwardly moving on. So Lakers and Nuggets. Originally, I was going to go with a Serbian film in honor of Nikola Jokic. But then I remembered what a Serbian film is all about. So I pivoted. I wanted something fun. But I wanted to focus on Jokic for this series. So I'm going with Die Hard. Because John McClane, what does he not like to do? He's like, why am I in LA? I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. What about Jokic? He doesn't want to be in the playoffs. He hates basketball. He wants to be at home. But what does he do in the end? He goes in there and he kicks everyone's ass and he kills everyone, whether it's in his home or it's in LA. So Lakers, Denver, Die Hard.
Okay. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to lean in.
Okay.
Which makes, of course, LeBron James who?
Oh, Hans Gruber.
Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
And what is Hans Gruber really? Because he pretends to be one thing, but what is he really?
Oh.
He's a thief.
That's right.
Right? He sounds like he has all of these principles and ideas and blah, blah, blah. But when it comes down to it, he wants the bag.
Yep.
LeBron?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit?
A lot of it.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Like his next deal is going to be, you know, some crazy amount of money, like 2 years.
Darvin Ham is Ellis.
Mm.
The idiot that's supposed to have some kind of brilliant plan, but never executes and gets executed.
And gets executed.
Oddly enough. Yep. Yeah. So it's McClane versus Gruber.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic versus James.
That's right.
Holy shit. You're on fire. If I have one of these that's as good as this, I'll be shocked.
Here's my final one.
Oh, no. He saved the best for last.
Phoenix at Minnesota.
Ooh.
No one trusts Minnesota.
Okay.
You don't trust their youth. You don't trust Rudy Gobert in the playoffs. You don't trust Karl Anthony Towns. Then there's Phoenix. No one trusts Bradley Beal. Do you trust Durant to be healthy? That team is horrible on defense, and they have no depth whatsoever. So we have got a court where no one trusts anyone. The Thing.
Oh. I don't want to drop the mic because I might break it, but I honestly thought, Matt. Please, yes. take it home.
Thank
take it
you.
Home.
Thank you. So, I mean, the claustrophobic John Carpenter 1982 classic where they're all trapped up in some building up in the Arctic and suddenly there's an alien and it's inside one of them. No one knows who it is. Everyone is, okay, we got to lock you in here and I don't trust you and everyone, we're going to take a blood sample. No one trusts anyone in that movie.
And DeAndre Ayton is the dog who gets wasted in the first scene.
Exactly.
Because nobody trusts him.
No one trusts
him. So they just took him out.
Yeah, took him right out. So.
Oh my God, Matt. You know what? Honestly, hang on a second.
Yeah.
You drink wine any way you want.
Yeah. And maybe wine helped him with those picks. Now, I was going over it last night. Amy was busy working. She was helping with these like online concert series. And I'm like, Amy. She's like, what? I'm like, okay, I got to go over my ones for you. She's like, okay, just give me a minute. I'm like, no. And she even gave enough time to go, oh, yeah, those are a good idea. Like, where she actually meant it for half a second and then moved back on.
That was so well done. I love it. You got to use those for your show today. Don't let those die.
Yeah,
just say that you did it on your pod with Bob.
Oh, yeah, no. I would do that in a second.
You should. They're great.
Yeah, who knows how many of these my producer has even seen
none.
Before.
None. He's never seen anyone but the Raptors win a championship.
Yeah.
None.
Also, Leafs Boston. I got a Leafs Boston one.
Okay. Go for it.
Yeah. There is a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of pain. There's going to be a lot of suffering. And the ending is, no matter what, it's going to be gory.
Mm-hmm.
There will be blood.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. I said I would do the Eastern Conference, but I would do albums. Mm-hmm. And I decided to stick to debut albums because it is the first round. So let's assume that the Celtics wind up playing the Heat because the Heat wind up winning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be potentially brilliant if Jimmy Butler had been there. It would have been Pearl Jam's 10.
Mm.
Filled with hits. And memorable for the ages.
Yeah.
But because he's not going to be there, it's still going to be a pretty good series, and it's going to fit into a larger narrative, but kind of dismissible on its own, so it's going to be Rush's first album.
Oh.
It's self-titled before Neil Peart joined for the second album, Fly By Night, in 1975. But it's Rush's self-titled album in 1974, because it's still going to be good, it's still going to be enjoyable, but deep down in your heart, you know someone key is missing.
I love it. Neil Peart is Jimmy Butler. It's often been said.
It's often been said. The heart and soul of that team.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
I don't know if I have a lot to say about that series.
There isn't much. The problem with, and that's why my assignment was much easier, because there's so much more to talk about, and I'm a movie junkie, as anyone knows. So that was easy. Yeah, Boston, Miami. God, the main thing we're talking about is how's Joel Embiid, how's Giannis, and how's Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, there's a lot of health stuff, and we'll get to that in a second. That's why the best series of the first round is going to be 2-7, the Knicks versus the Sixers.
Yes.
It's weird, because it feels like if the Knicks win, it'll be an upset, even though they're the 2 seed?
Philly's favored. They're a slight favorite on FanDuel.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's so interesting. And I probably, if you had to bet, wouldn't you bet Philly?
I'd bet Philly. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, though, people are underestimating just how hard this series is going to be. It is going to be brutal. It is going to be physical. The games are going to be long. They're not going to go fast. They're going to be mid-tempo. So what is brutal has long chapters to it and is kind of mid-tempo.
Yeah.
Tool's first record, Undertow. This is going to be a Tool record. It's going to be bludgeoning.
Yeah.
I think that Philly can win because I think that they can get into the mud with these guys. I think they can fight for the knife in the mud with like a Thibodeau team, an OG Anunoby team, all of these things. You know, the Knicks historically just love to pound you. I kind of wished that actually Miami would have won that first game because the Knicks versus Miami
would have been awesome. That's what we all wanted.
You want to see that one.
The best case scenario would have been Jimmy Butler was fully healthy and put up 40 on Philly and they win that game and then it's Miami versus New York.
Right. And historically, because you followed the Knicks for years, you think back to those old Pat Riley, Jeff Van Gundy series, Alonzo Mourning and the Stomp. Like they used to beat the shit out of each other.
Allen Houston, 3 bounce in game 5, the number 8 seeded New York Knicks with Marcus Camby, Latrell Sprewell, and Allen Houston. They've defeated the Miami Heat.
Charles Oakley punching people. Yeah. Xavier McDaniels, punching people.
Derek Harper, punching people. We'll be back on our 22-part series. Knicks, punching people.
All right, this next one is going to be Bucks versus the Pacers. And this one is it's impossible to call because we don't know what Giannis's situation is. We think he's going to be out for the whole series, but it's the playoffs, and you just never know. But he's certainly going to be out for the beginning of it. So, interestingly enough, the fastest rate of play that the Bucks had to play all year long, three of the four games that they had to play at the fastest speed were against the Pacers because the Pacers like to move.
Yeah.
So this one, to me, is going to be Metallica's first record. Kill them all. It's going to be defined by speed.
Also, you know what's good about that? Was Giannis freaking out when he scored like a career high and he wanted to get the game ball and the Pacers had it and he ran into the Pacers like area to get into their locker room. Giannis went full kill them all. And, you know, his brother who's on the Bucks would have been right there with him. That's good.
And Bobby Portis freaking out on that team because they played the Pacers and got beaten and he was mad about it. So he called everyone out. There's something about the Pacers that drive the Bucks insane.
Yeah.
And no Giannis, I think it's hard not to take the Pacers.
If Giannis isn't there, then yeah, you take the Pacers.
Think back to now, use our Raptors experience here about when the ball is moving up court quickly, how good Pascal Siakam is.
Mm-hmm.
He just loves to move. And Tyrese Halliburton, the ball's going to move. It's going to be a speed game, and I think that's going to drive Milwaukee crazy.
And I hope it is because, you know, you watch Knicks and Philly, you just want to see something opposite, and that should be Milwaukee and Indiana.
Okay, my last one is the Magic and the Cavs, and this one's filled with young stars, but you wonder, are they really worth the hype? Because you've heard a lot about them, but they haven't actually proven anything yet.
Yep.
So to me, it's the Strokes. Is this it?
Actually, I think you're giving the series too much credit because that first album by the Strokes is awesome. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
But hang on. Some of these guys might turn out to be awesome. Like right. Paolo Banchero, when you look back at this years from now, you go, oh, man, that was the beginning of something.
Right.
Someone has an opportunity for this to be the beginning of something. Someone will take it.
Darius Garland or Evan Mobley for Cleveland. And you're right, Banchero absolutely could. No, you're right. Okay, it's a good point because three years from now, Banchero could be, you know, a multi-time All-Star now. And then we look back at that first Strokes album.
It could be that it's not consequential, but it might be like Jordan's first playoff series where you go, wow, he put up a lot of points. And you could see how in the moment he really rose to it. You know who I actually think is the dark horse candidate for being beginning of a narrative? Jalen Suggs. Jalen Suggs will never be a great player, but I think he'll always be a valuable player. And I think the legend of Suggs will begin because he is going to lock down Garland.
He's kind of like the Darcy Tucker, the Gary Roberts of the NBA.
Yeah, like someone in the playoffs, or maybe the Claude Lemieux. Someone who in the playoffs becomes invaluable because they just do all the things you need to do to win. Suggs is never going to be a better player than Scottie Barnes. But you hope that Barnes develops the Jalen Suggs winning attitude.
God, Suggs is loved. I mean, that is the easiest guy to love just because he's a psycho. He gives a shit at every moment, the defense.
I remember hearing stories at the beginning of this year just about how it was like some random second quarter on some random Tuesday against some random team. And he is diving for the ball. Like if he doesn't, thousands of school children will be thrown into an active volcano.
Yeah. And I got to tell you that. That child removal program, whoever came up with it, is a real asshole.
This was a terrible way to get class sizes down.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, what's that, parents? You want your children more individual time? All right. Well, half the class is going to Hawaii.
Yay.
Don't be too happy.
Mine turned out better than I thought they would.
No, it was good. It was good. I like the Neil Peart. I think that one was my favorite.
Yeah, was it? I kind of liked the speed one with Metallica and Kill 'Em All. But maybe because I love that record so much.
But Kill 'Em All works perfectly with Giannis's face when he wanted the ball and he couldn't find the ball.
I remember my dad, when that came out, showed me a picture of the album art, and it's a hammer in a puddle of blood. And it just says, kill them all. Mm-hmm. And their slogan was, bang the head that does not bang.
I mean, guys, relax. You know, you're doing music here. Let's all try to have a good time. That's intense.
I was talking to a friend of mine who plays, she's a great musician, and she worked a lot with Lars. And I finally said to her, is he any good? And she looked at me for a long time and said, I don't know. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
But is he any good?
Yeah, the two aren't mutually.
It's a bit like Jeff O'Neill.
Mm.
Is Jeff O'Neill a great broadcaster?
Mm-hmm.
He's not James Duffy.
No.
But is he a brilliant broadcaster?
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Lars Ulrich is Jeff O'Neill.
Again, it's often been said. You wait a minute. Were you reading my mom's diary?
All right. How much time do we have left?
We have time for science fiction.
All right. So I just watched Three Body Problem on Netflix, all 8 episodes. I set aside a week where I knew I didn't have a ton of work to do because I wanted to be able to watch two episodes a day.
Right.
You know, and just get really into it. And it starts out great. Like the pilot is, it's something. And it starts to peter out by the end. But it got me thinking about how comic books are now. What was the last comic book movie you were excited for?
Oh, it's been ages.
A long time. Yeah. Deadpool might revive it. Fantastic Four might revive it. And we'll see.
We'll see.
But it feels a little bit like the age of the comic book has, you know, the sun has set.
Listen, had a great run, made a ton of money. Now, can we make some $50 million movies?
Now, people want, like, you know, there was a moment where fantasy was the biggest thing, and it was really around Game of Thrones, and there were a bunch of fantasy shows that came out, everything from The Witcher to XYZ, this, that, and the other thing, The Golden Compass. People were trying to make fantasy happen. And I wonder if maybe science fiction in this moment might have its time. Dune 2, people love. Three Body Problem, really interesting. I'm just finding more and more that weird kind of apocalyptic sciency type stuff has my attention.
Yeah, there's another one. It's some sort of video. It was a video game. Now it's where everyone was in down in the tunnels waiting for if there was an apocalypse and it happened. It's on Paramount. I just did a horrible job trying to explain this. I'd be fired from IMDb. And they brought it up because I saw a preview for it.
They did a bad job not preparing you.
They did.
Somebody should be fired from Paramount for that.
I watched the first episode of The Gentlemen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Any good?
It was. Yeah. It is. It is really good.
It looks like comfort food.
Yes, it's like high end comfort food, but it's the villain from Breaking Bad. The main villain from Breaking Bad is in it.
Oh, Giancarlo Esposito.
He's in it. He was great. It's a cast where it's like I recognize a lot of you, but I don't know exactly who you are. Watch the first episode. Would definitely recommend. And, there is some good wine talk in it as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because as you know,
did they make the face?
Yeah. Oh, they. Bob, if you're going to drink DRC, you're going to make the face.
What's DRC?
DRC is the most expensive wine in the world. Domaine Romain-Conti from Burgundy, close to the Chambertin Appellation. These are the best pinots on planet Earth.
If you said that DRC to another wine person, would they know what you were talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All you got to say is, you know, DRC. Yeah.
Is it like talking to a baseball head and saying FIP?
Yes. God, I hate FIP and BAPWIP. And God, they make up so many stupid terms.
Yeah. Well, the key is the acronym. Ugh. It can't just be a term because like exit velocity, you could kind of guess what that is.
Yeah.
It has to be incomprehensible because it's just a series of letters.
Yeah. It's expected EV something or other.
Mm-hmm.
So stupid.
My point that I wanted to get to right. about science fiction is this is why, God willing, the Star Wars universe comes back to life a little bit because I feel like it's been sitting dormant in our imaginations. I really liked Andor.
Yeah.
I thought that was great, but it was also kind of like a weird indie project that wasn't going to be massive, but we need a big honking, massive, freaking great Star Wars movie to get around.
Yeah. Like something just to bring everyone together.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like we get excited about the playoffs because the whole city sort of, or a lot more of the city just bands together. Same thing with, we need like Dune, but a little less of a slog.
Stop fucking around with the universe and making these little interesting little side projects.
Yeah.
Give me the New York Yankees of Star Wars movies. Yes. I want it to be big budget. I wanted it to be filled with stars. I want characters like build it around Rey. I don't know. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now, build it around Rey. Find a way to get Paul Giamatti in it. Let's get this done. Let's get Paul Giamatti.
That is such a weird pull. Like I talked about doing a Star Wars movie and making it huge, and you went to Paul Giamatti?
Did you like Rogue One?
Yeah.
Mads
Mikkelsen?
Mads Mikkelsen is in it. Like that cast is filled with classically trained actors.
Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah. Sir Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan. It's all over the place.
Ooh, let's cast the new Star Wars movie. What's an actor you'd like to see in it? See, the funny thing is it can't be like a Matt Damon or a Brad Pitt or right. a Leonardo DiCaprio, because they're their own brands.
They're their own brands. Well, that's why Giamatti, he's not really his own brand.
That's actually a good pick. Like, I kind of see where you're going with this. Mm-hmm. I feel like Cate Blanchett could be good, but she's done too much. Like, she's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
She's Galadriel.
Yeah, we can't bring in Emma Stone. Ooh, Lily Gladstone.
Yeah,
Lily,
she's good.
Lily Gladstone she's from good. Killers Flower Moon.
Yeah, I actually thought Emma Stone was a good idea.
I know, but Emma Stone is...
No, but she's never been in any of these movies. Mm-hmm. What you got to do, like the Timothy Chalamets and Shimmy Ya, you have to figure out like who's huge, like Zendaya. Well, I guess Zendaya's been in, you know, yeah, she's Mary Jane, so she doesn't count. But
the problem with Timothy Chalamet...
Shimmy Ya.
Is, bless you, is my 80s action movie blood is still inside of me. I kind of like my action star where I feel that if they were in a fight, they could hold their own.
Well, what if he was the villain?
Okay.
What if he was like Kylo Ren's best meaner friend?
Okay, I'd be down with that. Yeah, if he was the villain, I would get on board with that.
Kylo, we never told you. You have a brother.
Oh.
And he's smaller and meaner.
And unlike the other movie, you haven't made out with him yet.
You could build around Kylo Ren, couldn't you?
I think, yes. I'd be down with that.
All right. Well, that's really all I've got for this week. That's I can't good. Think of anything. We didn't Iron Chef last week. I think we're going to try to do it this week.
That's right. Well, what did you? Oh, you did it or you?
No,
gonna...
no, no. We haven't done it
okay,
yet.
Okay. And
gonna,
it's cheese.
It, but I think it's going to be cheese.
It's going to be cheese. Yeah.
Still thinking it might be mushroom. It could be cheese or it could be mushroom. Mushroom's a good one. You know what I would actually make? And this would blow people's minds because it's good.
Mm.
So my mom has East Coast family, and from the East Coast, we brought in spaghetti and mushroom soup. But it has to be a tin of Campbell's soup that you heat up and you use it like sauce for thick spaghetti.
Really?
It's fan-freaking-tastic. It's basically like the pasta version of a grilled cheese sandwich. It just feels so comforting, and you know it's not good for you, but we're way past that.
God damn it. By the way, the mushroom. It's so tasty. I don't even know if it should be called a vegetable anymore.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, it's fungus.
Is that still a vegetable?
Well, yeah, and that's actually worse, like selling it like fungus. You know what's really good? You take a portobello mushroom and you take the stem out. Yep. So there's like that little kind of like dollar, like toonie sized hole.
Yeah.
And you fill that with goat cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And you put it in the oven with a drizzle of balsamic vinegar. Mm-hmm. So good.
Do you ever smell on it and treat it like it's a glass of wine?
No, I eat it.
Bye, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.